Yeah.
I'll work with you on that.
I'm just wondering if we need to commit in writing, so, because there's a reporter in there that's highly irresponsible, and so I was just typing up notes like, you know, if you could reiterate some of the points we were making, send it back out to folks,
okay.
And get him and try to do that.
That the points being, the key points being, we're not posing these as outcomes. We're saying we want more
analyzed scenarios.
More analyzed scenarios on these.
So we can better understand. What evaluations have been done? Just keep putting that out there, and some of the, you know, all. Provide no freeway access to Hey Man. So I didn't catch it. So if we could.
Just to do some damage control to make sure.
Well, just clarifying and reiterating.
Yes, I can do that.
Because they're gonna take that conversation and run to our labor friends and try to make it into something.
And should I send it out to everyone on the conversation and tell them to please share with?
We'll do. If you have any further questions, the conversation is helpful to clarify. If you have any further questions or any of this isn't clear, we really want to keep dialogue. So we speak different languages, you know, whatever you want to say.
Actually, how long have you heated
that? Does, are you? This is all we have, right, Randy?
I'm sorry?
This is all we have today, right?
This is all we have.
Okay. No, that's plenty. No, it's plenty.
We were going to have Google, but I saw.
What's that?
We were going to have Google, but
That's right, yeah. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the City Council Chambers. I'm Sam, your mayor. And how many of you have been to a City Council meeting before? You've been to a City Council meeting before? Okay, great. Couple of things up front so that we all can be part of making sure that this is a good deliberation. Undoubtedly, there will be people speaking today whose views might not match your own. This is an issue of great passion. Because we foster dialogue and we want to foster different points of view, for this particular issue, if you like something, you can wave your hands, and that way we know. But no clapping, no cheering for this particular issue. The signs are fine to have in front of your chest, but if you block someone behind you, then security gets a little concerned. So to ask that you're doing a great job, just keep them on your lap or like yours on your chest, perfect. We just want to make sure that everyone has a sight line. If you've signed up, and we just go by the order in which people sign up, all you need to do is to just give us your first and last name. On TV, you often see people giving their address. We don't want your address. So just your first and last name, and the clock in front and that big sort of hunk of wood, that'll actually count down from three. So it'll start at three and then count down to zero, and everyone will have 3 minutes. The mics are the best technology from 1983, and so you have to get really close to the mic in order to be heard adequately. And this is Carla. Carla Moore is the clerk. And if you have anything to pass out, you just hand it to Carla, and she in turn hands it to us. So those are a few of the rules. If you want to sign up to testify, the sign-up sheets are still out front. She'll collect them, and if you decide later in the meeting you want to testify, Carla will have them at her desk. So we're really glad you're here and look forward to this very important discussion. Good afternoon, Carla. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you.
Can you please call the, wait, Today is Thursday, March 18th. It's 2 p.m. The Portland City Council is in session. And Carla, would you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard?
Here.
Adams?
Here. We have only one item on the agenda, and that is time certain at 2 p.m. It's an emergency ordinance, item number 385. Can you please read the title?
Establish Police Review Board and clarify investigatory powers and complaint handling procedures of the Office of Independent Police Review.
Commissioner Leonard.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, colleagues, and assembled guests. I've been on the council since 2002, and in that time, I have had the opportunity to work on a number of issues, to be involved in a number of community events, and to experience, as most Portlanders have, a number of tragedies that have happened in our community. I'm not here today, and I hope nobody else here today is to rehash those tragedies, but rather to look to the future and fix the problems of the past. So for me, the best way to do that is to change the rules that govern our city, and specifically in this case, change the rules that govern our police force. I think I've reached the point, beginning last September, with the release of finally, after 3 years, the Police Bureau's report on James Chassie, where I think that the current rules are not strong enough to provide police oversight and police transparency. And for anybody who is not convinced by either the James Chassie case or the Aaron Campbell case that oversight is needed, I want to remind you of a couple less highly profiled cases that have happened since I've been on the council that have concerned me greatly regarding the lack of police oversight and transparency and accountability. On June 9th, 2003, a 70-year-old woman, Eunice Crowder, who was blind in one eye, had a glass eye, had accumulated junk in her front yard. The city was in the process of removing that junk when she went out into the yard with her 91-year-old mother to look for an item. Because she was interfering with the folks working on her property, they called the police. When the police arrived, they found Ms. Crowder to be not cooperating with them. So instead of these two young police officers each grabbing her by an arm and asking her to calm down, they pulled out tasers and tasered this 71-year-old woman who fell to the ground. Her eye popped out, and the city settled ultimately for $145,000 with Ms. Crowder, and there was no discipline to the police officers involved because they were found to have worked within Police Bureau policy on the use of tasers. On May 29th, 2005, a woman by the name of Barbara Weitch was pulled over on the east side of the Hawthorne Bridge. She was given a warning for not having insurance for her vehicle. As she left, she used what is recognized as a universal symbol of disrespect to the police officer with her left hand out the driver's window, whereupon the officer pulled her over again. She refused to get out of the car. He blackened her eye, pulled her through the window, breaking her arm. That cost the city $150,000. The officer involved received no discipline. I could go on. I have a number of cases here to read, but here's the point. Everybody should have reached the point by now in the Portland community that something is wrong and broken at the Police Bureau. And what that is effective oversight, transparency, and most importantly to this former firefighter, accountability. And that means to me that you follow the rules that you expect other people to follow, that you behave the way you expect other people to behave, and you always treat everybody with respect. That is why I have brought forward the ordinance that the council is considering today. So I want to give a brief overview of what the ordinance does, and I'm going to ask the auditor to come forward with the IPR director and the assistant director to give more specifics. But very briefly, this is what the ordinance accomplishes if the council adopts this ordinance today. It gives the IPR director expanded authority to initiate, conduct, and review investigations into police misconduct, including subpoena power. Currently, the IPR director does not have subpoena power, and currently the IPR director is limited as to what kind of cases can be investigated. This ordinance removes all those barriers. And as I've said to anybody that will listen, if the IPR director is having coffee and overhears another table having a discussion about something that might even hint a police misconduct, based on that information alone, she can initiate an investigation. Second, it eliminates barriers to the IPR oversight by giving them oversight over all police misconduct cases, regardless of how they were initiated. This is a very important point that I don't want to gloss over. Currently, the Bureau has taken the position that the IPR has no authority to investigate cases where the police bureau itself has initiated a complaint and not a citizen. That has led to serious consequences, including the threatening of having the IPR staff excluded from one of the police's review board hearings dealing with an officer who was making unwanted sexual advances to underage women. That cannot be tolerated, that the police bureau will tell the IPR what they can and can't investigate. Third, the new ordinance gives the IPR director unobstructed access to all police data and data systems allowed by law. Currently, when the IPR director asks for information, she gets a report. What the IPR director wants is the source of that data. We'll make our own reports. Thank you very much. We'll conclude ourselves what the data suggests, not have the police bureau interpret for us what data suggests. We want the raw data. Fourth, it formally establishes the police review board in city code and installs the IPR director as a voting member, and the city council appoints citizen members rather than the chief. In the current dynamic, the IPR director is only an observer in the room and only is allowed in the room in cases other than initiated cases, citizen-initiated cases, at the courtesy of the police bureau. We should no longer allow the police bureau to tell the IPR director what authority it has or doesn't have, but rather the law should direct what it is that the IPR director is empowered to do. Second, I think it's inappropriate to have the police chief appoint citizen members of force review boards. In this ordinance, the auditor would appoint the citizen members and the city council would approve them. Fifth, we give the IPR director and the police review board members the ability to compel review of cases involving police misconduct. For example, the woman whose arm was broken and eye blackened was not subject to IPR overview, and in the new ordinance, if an example like that happens again, the IPR director on her own initiative can initiate a process that would lead to discipline of the police officer involved if the chief decided not to take such action. And finally, the new ordinance will require publication of the disposition of cases reviewed by the police review board at least twice per year. That increases transparency, improves consistency due to the awareness that their deliberations will be recorded and published, and improve communication with officers with expectations. So some have said, why, Randy, file this ordinance and distribute it publicly just a week before you vote on it? And I want to be, if I'm asking others to be transparent, I need to do the same thing. And I think if you read just today's online edition of Willamette Week, you'll find out exactly why I didn't want this out as long as it would take for the opponents of this ordinance to try to undermine it. My experience with the police bureau is that they are resisting the efforts of a very watered-down IPR ordinance to do its job, and that they will fight tooth and nail to implement an actual empowered IPR at every turn possible, including today suggesting that the IPR ordinance can't be implemented because it requires collective bargaining with the union. That is not true, folks. That is not true. We crafted
There is no clapping.
That we've crafted this in consultation with labor attorneys and have artfully drafted an ordinance that respects and complies with any collective bargaining agreement, any obligations under the Public Employee Collective Bargaining Act, to make sure that once this ordinance passes and is implemented, it will be effective and unchallengeable. People may want to fight it, and they may resist it, but we've written it in a way so that it'll stand up in front of an arbitrator and a court. So without further ado, I'd like to invite the auditor and the IPR director and the assistant IPR director to come forward to explain in more detail what the ordinance accomplishes. Thank you, Mayor Adams and Council.
Thank you, Commissioner Leonard, and welcome. Welcome back, City Council Chambers.
I wonder if I've lost Commissioner Fish. If before I have a couple amendments to move that I'd like to make sure we get on the table that should not be controversial. One amendment is that we've had a number of requests from the community to include an IP a process for strengthening the IPR's oversight by establishing a stakeholder committee that would be charged under this amendment with developing additional changes to the IPR system and propose them to the council within 90 days. I did distribute this amendment to the council offices on Tuesday, and the groups that would be part of this oversight body would be the Albina Ministerial Alliance, the IPR Citizen Review Committee, Oregon Action, the Portland Police Bureau, Human Rights Commission, Office of Independent Police Review, National Alliance on Mental Illness, National Lawyers Guild, the League of Women Voters, the ACLU, Cop Watch, Office of the Commissioner in Charge of Police, and the City Attorney. I move the amendment.
It's been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Any council discussion regarding the amendment?
Yes, I appreciate this amendment and will support it. However, I think that rather than just the person who is the police commissioner serving on this committee, I think each council office should have a representative on this committee.
I consider that a friendly amendment.
Okay.
And then who leads this committee? Is that referenced in an earlier item?
Interestingly, that came up in a meeting I had today, and I think that especially on the heels of Commissioner Saltzman's recommendation, I would recommend that my office chair the committee and set the meeting dates and staff it.
Okay.
Why would it be your office rather than the auditor?
Because that was the discussion we had today with the auditor present.
Okay, thank you.
So you'll consider that a friendly amendment as well?
I would.
And the second considers that a friendly amendment?
Sure.
All right. Carla, can you please call the vote on the amendment?
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. The second amendment are amendments to Exhibits A and C. And these are amendments the auditor has put together based on recommendations from the CRC to clarify and strengthen the code language. The amendments affect Exhibits A and C and were distributed to council offices yesterday. They are not substantive changes. I move the amendment.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to approve the amendments contained in the exhibit in front of us, underlined or yellow is insertions and strikeout or deletions. It's been moved and seconded. Carla, can you please call the roll?
Fritz?
Well, I haven't had an opportunity to review the amendments. I'm willing to put them on, amend the ordinance as proposed for the discussion today. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. Amendment is approved.
Thank you, Mayor Adams.
You're welcome. Auditor.
Thank you.
Hi.
Good afternoon, Mayor Adams and Commissioners. We are here today to discuss an ordinance that sets out to do three basic things to improve the responsiveness and the effectiveness of the Auditor's Independent Police Review Division, known as IPR. Commissioner Leonard has already given you some detail about these three different basic things that we're trying to do, and I want to reiterate very briefly. We propose to strengthen IPR's ability to do independent investigations, to strengthen IPR's authority in cases investigated by the Portland Police Bureau, replace the current performance review and use of force boards with a single, more transparent police review board with IPR as a voting member. So if I may say a few words before I turn it over to your questions and comments. I'm sure members of council know this, but the public may not. One of the charter-appointed duties of the city auditor is to deliver the oath of office to new and promoted members of the police bureau. I view that responsibility as an honor, and I very much appreciate its significance. It allows the auditor to momentarily connect with each member of the police bureau when they pledge to faithfully, honestly, and ethically perform their duties. In other words, when they agree to represent their profession honorably, to be mindful of the community they serve, and to use appropriate judgment as they carry out their work. As someone who audits government, I've learned that every public organization, including mine, by the way, is at risk of meeting its goals, is at risk of major systemic problems and failures, is at risk of losing its connection with the public that is they are here to serve. That's why accountability and independent oversight are so crucial. I have great respect for Chief Rosie Sizer and the hundreds of responsible and professional police bureau members who show up every day to perform their difficult work. But the changes we seek through the ordinance before you are about protecting and strengthening civilian oversight authority, enhancing police accountability, and improving community policing efforts. Over time, we have come to understand the weaknesses of the current police review system, gained tremendous insight from the work and advice of the Citizen Review Committee, and heard the voice of the public, many of whom are here today to speak to you, to speak to us, and to speak to their neighbors. The opportunity to make some needed corrections to the existing civilian oversight process has come at a critical juncture for our community. The crisis of confidence in the police bureau and in the city's leadership of police oversight efforts is acute. If the proposed changes are accepted by council, the role and significance of IPR and the CRC will be expanded to everyone's benefit, including the police bureaus. Finally, I want to acknowledge the obvious. This is council's decision, and that is your appropriate role and responsibility. My role and responsibility as the independently elected city auditor is to push for change and improvement where it's needed. And in this case, that means advocating for increased oversight of arguably the most important service this city provides to its residents. I would like to introduce Director Mary Beth Baptista and Assistant Director Constantine Severe, and I would like to open the floor for questions and comments.
Well, I began this work 2 years ago.
And your name for the record?
I'm Mary Beth Baptista. I'm the director of the Independent Police Review Division. I began this work 2 years ago, and shortly thereafter, I sat in front of council. And the questions from council were, how do you explain the drop in complaints? Isn't that because people have lost faith in IPR? Isn't that because you haven't done outreach to the community? Isn't that because they don't trust you to do anything? And I set off to my work to see whether or not that was actually true, where the answers lie. And I know one thing. We've certainly done some outreach to the community, and we've listened to them. And what we've heard is overwhelming community concern regarding accountability issues at the Portland Police and IPR's ability to do anything about it. Portland wants real oversight. And to the community, real oversight isn't IPR watching the police themselves. It's about actively participating in the system. And it's about strengthening our independence. This ordinance is about having council give IPR their authority, not having that authority come from the Bureau. We ask you to consider this ordinance that strengthens our ability to do independent investigations, strengthens our ability and our role in internal investigations, and strengthens the process and our role in it for holding the Bureau accountable. Thank you.
Hi. Good afternoon. My name is Constantine Sevier. I'm the Assistant Director of IPR. Formerly, I was a criminal defense attorney, and I had an opportunity to cross-examine many officers. And one of the things I've experienced is that the Portland Police Bureau is a very fine institution with very competent, intelligent young men and women who are dedicated to serving the city and protecting it. As part of my job at IPR, I've gone across the city and I've talked to different community members, and there is a profound and distressing lack of trust in us and in the police bureau, because folks don't have the opportunity to see what is actually going on in the oversight system. They don't have the confidence in when they file a complaint that we will actually take it seriously, and then when it goes to the Bureau, that the Bureau will discipline it, will take charge of the incidents and actually implement the disciplinary system that, you know, that's required. This ordinance, as written, would provide, I believe, a first step in reasserting, I believe, council's rightful role in establishing the lead in what is supposed to happen in the city. I'm a recent resident of the city of Portland. I've lived here 7 years. I love this city. And everybody that I know who knows about my job and knows about me, they ask, you know, why are you working for IPR? Isn't it a joke? And it's one of those things where it really does hurt me, because when I wake up, this, you know, my job is the first thing I think about. And when I ride my bike down to work, I'm excited to work for Mary Beth and LaVon because they care about it. And the officers that I talk to on a daily basis, they care about protecting the city. And it's important for us, all of us who have a role in this system, to not let the citizens who are here today and not let the officers who are, you know, who work all the way from Forest Park and all the way down to, you know, 162nd and Division on the edge of the city. It's really important that we all stand up and do something that's been needing to be done for a very long time. Thank you.
Question for either of you. How would you like us and the community to judge the success of these changes? And I know they aren't necessarily the beginning and end of changes, but just sort of your own thoughts on what are some of the outcomes that we can look to, or is that something that is to be developed?
The outcomes are basically pretty much what I mentioned, I think, and with more detail below that, to strengthen IPR's ability to do independent investigations and
so the output.
So how to do that?
I get all those, but in terms of 6 months from now, a year from now, we look back, what are the positive kinds of changes you hope to see, you expect to see from the police bureau, law enforcement, what the scope of this reform is intended to cover, the actual results?
More responsiveness from our office and from the bureau to the concerns of the public, taking action swiftly, and listening to the advice not only of one another in the Bureau and one another here, but to IPR, in the case of the Bureau, listening to the expertise that Mary Beth and Constantine and Pete Sandrock bring to the table, taking that seriously. And in terms of hope to see for us is that we are much faster, much more responsive, that we improve our, not only our effectiveness, but the view of improve how the community views us, and that we are seen more positive, more responsive, And knowing as I sit here that we won't always make each individual who makes a complaint happy, but we now have tools to do our job much, or would now if this ordinance is approved, to do our jobs more effectively. One of the things that I've already committed to is to hire an outside consultant expert to come in within a year, I mean, 12 months after we have implemented these changes, and assess the system. And it's just as hard for the auditor to be reviewed and audited as it is anyone else, but you have to trust me when I say I take that very seriously, and I think that whatever recommendations, as long as they were feasible for us, that we would immediately turn around and implement. We are also committed to coming back to the table with the community and the community groups that are represented here today and would be represented in this the amendment that was presented to you, and listening to them and taking their concerns very seriously. We already do, but we don't necessarily have the authority to do much about it, and hopefully we'll get there. This is a good place to start.
If I may, I got the benefit of having that question asked to me yesterday, so I've had a full 24 hours to actually think about real performance measures on that.
Nice.
Because I was like, what? Let me think about that. And
it's always a very hard question to answer on all these policy issues. So.
Right. Well, I think some of the concrete areas that we can see improvement, and we can see it quickly, is case handling and the timeliness of case handling. When I came to IPR, I got the benefit of being able to hire an assistant director. Without Constantine to share the caseload with me, I think it would be, I can see where cases got backed up prior to my taking the director position at IPR, because as one person, it's really difficult to handle the caseload. But what I think a real measure of success with this would be was that we are able to handle cases more efficiently and more effectively. We have put in measures to make sure that investigations are done in a more timely fashion. And it will be up to, I think one of the measures of success will be if we're able to meet those goals and measures. We have cases that the Citizen Review Committee has heard appeals recently that are years old. That cannot happen again. We have to put that as a priority, and we hope that this new ordinance will help strengthen that case handling timeliness. We also hope one of the main things that we've heard from the community is that they want us to do independent investigations. We currently right now have the authority to do independent investigations, but we never have, and frankly, there's no provisions or ability. There's nothing spelled out of when we do them. There's nothing spelled out of how we do them. And I think a real measure of success would be that, especially with this amendment, with this 90-day period of listening to stakeholders, I think we really need to fine-tune and have that be an actual authority that we could exercise, and we could exercise it effectively, and we could exercise it with minimal effect to the Bureau as well as to our own inner workings. So those would be the two goals, timeliness, that we could easily measure, timeliness and strengthening the criteria to do independent investigations.
I'd like to add something to that. I come from a background in a profession where you don't measure success by how many fires you go to every year. You measure success by how many fires you prevent from ever happening. And it's been my approach with this. My way of measuring success would be not showing the community how the auditor's office and the IPR investigated cases of abuse, but in showing that that abuse cases or police misconduct cases actually have dropped altogether, didn't happen in the first place. And that dynamic, I think, is a very real dynamic when you have an ordinance like this passed. If, for instance, the officer that pulled the woman over on the Hawthorne Bridge knew that notwithstanding his actions, that there was an independent review board that would have read about that case in the paper and could have launched an independent investigation and initiated its own disciplinary process by calling together the police review board and asking that the case be heard, there's a great possibility that officer would not have done that. And my hope is that future incidents like that, where there are questions of judgment involved on the part of police officers, they begin including the ability of these folks sitting in front of you to ask questions and follow up with real consequences to police misconduct behavior. So for me, this is a very small part of what the community has identified a large problem, but it can be very effective, and not just what it brings transparently to the community to see, but what it prevents from happening in the first place by changing the culture of the Portland Police Bureau.
Absolutely.
So you'd see high levels of trust with the police bureau from the community and fewer complaints.
Frankly, at first, it's going to be hard. The police bureau does not want to change. That's a perspective I have. It's comfortable doing what it does now within the rules that exist. It will not be pleasant for a while. But I will tell you that having been through this kind of thing and bureaus I've been assigned to, I believe that at the end of the reacquaintance of the new empowered IPR and the police bureau, you will find a much healthier, happier and productive police bureau, and a much more trusting and satisfied citizenry when officers are behaving according to how this community expects them to behave.
So I made a comment this morning in one of the local publications about how this program has brought me more heartburn than any other over the last almost a year. And that is no reflection on Mary Beth or Constantine or any of the other staff. I want to make that very clear. But how I got here is in late December. Well, first of all, to back up a bit, we had had ongoing discussions about how we were going to approach making the changes to increase our authority and increase our oversight ability. And then there were multiple articles in the press, and in late December there was one that was so compelling that I said, I can no longer say this didn't happen on my watch. It happened 3 years ago, 4 years ago, whatever. But what I can say is it's not going to happen again. To the degree possible, it will not happen again.
And under this approach, it is still one of the scenarios is that you have more independence and more access, but to what degree is the police bureau compelled to act on your findings? Can you clarify that just for air that?
Well, and I think that's an important piece because I'm sure one of the main concerns of the bureau is the strengthening of the ability to do independent investigations, but the counter to that is the independent investigation that IPR would do would have to go through the same accountability process as an investigation done by IAD. So it's not the case that we would do the investigation and I would sit in my office and say, oh, yes, this is sustained and he should be disciplined. That's not the authority. That's not independent. That's not what we seek. If we're going to do an independent investigation, it has to go through the same checks and balances as any other. So if we were to do one, it would we would have the investigation be completed and it would go through the same channels as one that would be done by the Internal Affairs Department. And that would be, it would go to the reporting unit manager for a finding and then go through the accountability board process. Does that answer your question?
It's helpful, but let me try to put a finer point and just so no one misunderstands, I like this ordinance, so I just want to make sure that I understand it and that the public sort of understands it. So that was helpful, but what if at the end of that process you see a pattern conversely that the Bureau is not pursuing or implementing your recommendations? Sort of what, again, a year from now, let's say that was one of the scenarios, don't know what will happen. How do you see that playing out?
On a policy standpoint or from a discipline standpoint?
Wouldn't you mind if you could summarize both? That would be great.
So right now, if what it would look like under the new ordinance is that you'd have the Performance Review Board and Use of Force Board would be collapsed to the Police Review Board. This Police Review Board would review whatever the incident was, review the policies in place, and that review board would make a recommendation to the chief about findings and discipline. And the good piece of this ordinance that's different than what currently exists is that would be reported, not officers' names, and we would protect confidentiality. However, we would be able to see transparently, okay, the board found 4-1 that this should be sustained. The board found 5-0 this should be sustained. And if we see this pattern of the board making a recommendation and the chief not following that recommendation, it'll not only be transparent to us, but it'll be transparent to you and it'll be transparent to the community. And so I think that that's a key piece. Regarding patterns and policies, we already have that authority now. We did specifically write that we could do, specifically write in that part of that authority review policy is regarding discipline. But again, we're not trying to disrupt the union contract of naming names. That's not what we're about. It's more about patterns of conduct. And so what we're looking, we can still look and determine whether or not, we did it recently with the force policy earlier in the year, where we reviewed the force policy that was put in place a year ago to see how the officers were doing, see how the Bureau was doing, and they were doing well on that. And they were implementing the policies and the recommendations that were given. So we have the same authority to do that now that we did then.
Thank you, and I thank the Council for allowing me time to get my questions asked and answered. Commissioner Fish.
Mary Beth, I have a question about the potential cost of implementation. I don't know that we've had that discussion, but since it's the budget season, yeah, it's probably good to put a marker down and just have some general discussion. Should this council adopt the amended ordinance, what do you guesstimate are the additional resources that you may need to do the job?
Before the auditor will give you numbers, because that's not my strength, but I do want to, I'm glad that you asked that, because as I've been talking to people recently, they think that we're going to expand our staff and we're going to have all of these new people walking in our door, and one of my investigators thinks that she's going to get a car. The reality is that this ordinance for IPR, it really codifies a lot of things that we're already doing. And so it really, as much as I'd love to come here and ask you for another body, but, you know, I think that what we're doing is enough. But we don't need any more staff at IPR to handle the workload. We're capable from where we are. I think the only cost would be, we suggest that someone besides IPR or a member of the Bureau facilitate the new force review board, and that's the numbers that perhaps LaVon can give you.
Right, and we foresee the only cost, as Mary Beth said, associated with this change is the cost of that moderator. The review boards currently meet every other Wednesday, and those sessions last usually around 3 hours, so this is an estimate. We tried to determine a figure, and we think it's probably going to be no more than $10,000 a year.
Thank you.
Other question? Yeah.
Well, just to follow up on that point, so you envision the moderator not being a full-time employee of the city?
No.
Okay.
No, this would be a contract employee contractor, probably an expert facilitator, maybe even an administrative law judge.
And a second follow-up, at the contract, the independent look at it in 12 months, would that come out of your budget?
That would come out of my budget.
Or the discussion, initial discussion on council? Thank you very much for answering our questions and your presentation. We appreciate it. Do we have invited guests or right to the sign-up sheet?
I think we go right to the sign-up sheet.
Okay. Carla, if you're upstairs, we're going to call three names. Those are the names that are coming up to the big table here, and then we'll call three names beyond that in case you happen to be up there. That gives you time to walk down and stand to the side here. For those of you that arrived late, because of the nature of this particular issue, there's no clapping. If you like something, you can wave your hands like this, and we're glad you're here. 3 minutes, first and last name only, no address. The clock at the hunk of wood will help you count down your 3 minutes.
First three, please come on up, are Dr. Leroy Haynes, Marcus Munay, Reverend Boozer, and Reverend Boozer will be the last one, and they will be followed by Ashley Albies, Cynthia Gomez, and Dan Handelman.
Pastors, Mr. Mundy, welcome. Yes. Glad you're here. Yes. Pastor Haynes.
Yes, I am the Reverend Dr. Leroy Haynes, the chairperson of the
Habana Ministerial Alliance Coalition for Justice and Police Reform. To our esteemed Mayor Sam Allen, distinguished and illustrious members of the Portland City Council, the time is now to fix the problems in the Portland Police Bureau that led to the death of Kendra James, Jaha Perez, Jose Me Poot, James Chassie, and now Aaron Campbell. The community with a diversified voice is saying to our elected officials and those in authority, enough is enough. As the late Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, we are confronted with the fierce urgency of the now. The hope for our beloved city to bring justice, fairness, and reconciliation partially rests upon this city council demonstrating strong leadership to urgently address the critical issue of police violence in our city. Your actions and willingness will move us further along in creating a just and beloved community, or set us further back. Therefore, we called upon the mayor and the other commissioners to be courageous in fixing the problem of excessive force and deadly force in our police department, not only for the victims of the violence, but for the city at large, and for all the officers that wear the Portland police uniform and do a professional job every day. Hence, we support the courageous ordinance that has been initiated by Commissioner Leonard as a major first step to help solving the problem of police violence in our city. And we call upon the City Council to support the other 5 points of the Habana Minister Alliance Coalition that we believe will bring true accountability and enhance police-community relations. If not now, when? If not us, then who? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Reverend. Mr. Mundy?
Yes, my name is Marcus Mundy. I'm the president and CEO of the Urban League of Portland. And I'm here today to speak to my commitment of the Urban League and our community to the resolution of this issue and similar issues to follow. Some of these issues we pointed out in our own report, the State of Black Oregon, but they have recurred too much in our community. What I am also here to say is that I'm heartened to see, if you look in the gallery behind us, every folk of every color, every person of every color representing the city of Portland. And although most of the victims that Pastor Haynes and others will speak about were African Americans, they weren't the only victims, and the entire community suffers when this happens in our community. I support the efforts of the Albina Ministerial Alliance, as they are a group of moral men and women who are leading this effort in our city for this kind of police, and I don't care if you call it police oversight, police reform, police review. What they're doing is getting us to look at our systems, and that is a very important task on their plate and on the plate of this council right now. We can all agree that change is overdue on this issue, but that it must be sustainable, a very Portland word, but very true in this case. And I don't know if a strengthened IPR is the only answer or the best answer, but it is a good start and it is necessary. It is a fundamental change. When I look at what needs to change fundamentally, if I look at my car and the engine isn't running, I don't put a new paint job on, I don't put spinners on, I work on the engine. So whatever happens from this council, from this group, from our work, you know, who is on the IPR is sometimes and may be as important as what the new rules say, what the new ordinance supports, what is called out in that. So we need to look at who comprises the IPR or whatever body comes out of this, and we need to look at that transformation. I'm not so presumptuous to believe as I know how to tell any Portland police officer how to do the specifics of their job, but I am John Q. Public, and I can say that, I can't read my own writing, I can say that I'd like input on how to evolve it into a higher level, both as part of this body and part of the community. So to close, I am committed to continuing to help through the Urban League and through our community the work of the city, the Albina Ministerial Alliance, and the Coalition for Justice, and I am anxious to get to the resolution of this issue. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Mr. Monday. Appreciate it. Pastor.
Yes, thank you, and good afternoon, Mr. Mayor and Commissioners. I am the Reverend Alcina Boozer, Rector of St. Philip the Deacon Episcopal Church, a member of the Coalition, and also a member of Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon Board of Directors and a past president. As a lifelong Portlander, I have witnessed changes in the relationships between those charged to protect and defend us and members of the community. When I was a little girl, and I admit that's a long, long time ago, we looked up to the police. When we were playing in the streets, officers would get out of their cars and toss around a football or a baseball with the neighborhood kids. Over the years, that relationship has changed. 2 days ago, I talked with a friend who lives in Northeast Portland who told me that she had not had any sleep the night before because some people were outside of her window engaged in a furiously violent confrontation. I said, well, why didn't you call the police? She said, I'm afraid to call them. I don't want anybody to be killed. I don't want that on my conscience. Now, that may be a case of perception more than reality, but it is her reality. And I don't think she's an isolated case. Clearly, things have to change. And I commend Commissioner Leonard and the auditor and the director for what they have brought forth in terms of this ordinance. It's a good start toward building a structure that will enable the people of this community and the men and women sworn to protect and defend us to find common ground where the concerns of all may be addressed. Well, you know, when you talk about common ground, people will say, well, why do we need an ordinance? We need an ordinance because when we think of the relationship between the police department and the citizens, we're all expected to abide by rules and laws. We have a right to expect our police officers to do the same things. And that happens, and there's more motivation to do that when there is an ordinance. So this is a good start. Our best work as a community happens when we are willing to sit down together, to reason together, and as the amended ordinance states, to take that second look. When we come to the table and figure out what has been done well, what still needs to be changed, deleted, or added, we implore you as a council to pass this ordinance. And as a result, all the citizens in this community will feel more comfortable to call the police to protect and defend. And the sworn officers, and I want to underscore this point, need to know that they are respected and supported for discharging their duties in a manner that respects all persons in the community. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Commissioner Fish had a quick question.
Yes, if you, okay.
For Dr. Haynes, and thank you for your testimony. And You referred to some additional points of concern that you had raised, and I just want to make clear. Those would be set forth in your March 18th letter to the to each commissioner?
Thank you, Commissioner. I think in terms of we listed some of those concerns. So one, of course, the mayor and Commissioner Salzman with the Justice Department investigation. We also, beyond that, are calling for a federal audit to take place on the Portland Police Bureau. Secondly, we wanted to, along with Chief Rosie Sizer and the city commissioner, to call for a full review of the excessive force and deadly force policies and training with a diverse citizen participation, not just police officers, but a diverse citizen participation to make recommendation to the council for changes. And then fourth, we ask for your support in the state legislature to change the stature, to make it a stature that is more accountable of the police officers in the using of deadly force. And then, of course, we also are calling upon for an independent prosecutor that will be able to prosecute excessive force and deadly force cases.
Thank you, Dr. Haynes. And I also just also would like to acknowledge that we've received an additional letter from you and the AMA outlining some proposed changes to the ordinance you'd like us to consider. And you've noted where they've been incorporated into the amendments we adopted today and where there are additional things you want us to consider. They're set forth in your letter.
Certainly, sir. We consider the ordinance to be a first major step in holding officers accountable for their action as citizens are held accountable. But we also know, working with this issue for the last 40 years, that the ordinance alone is not going to stop completely excessive and deadly force. So there are many other aspects. And so we want to strengthen the ordinance as we go along, at the same time deal with those other 5 points.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you all very much for your testimony. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Carla?
Next three are Ashley Albies, Cynthia Gomez, and Dan Handelman. And they will be followed by Joanne Bowman, Mark Knutson, and Debbie Iona.
Hi, welcome to the City Council Chambers. We're glad you're here. Ms. Albie?
Good afternoon. My name is Ashley Albies. I'm the chair of the Portland chapter of the National Lawyers Guild, which is a progressive bar association made up of attorneys, law students, legal workers, and jailhouse lawyers, all working for social justice. As of recently, we've been assisting complainant appellants through the CRC process. So we've borne witness to how the CRC works, reviewed IPR investigations. I also want to make clear that we joined that process in terms of giving assistance to complainants, not because we believed that the process was legitimate, but there's an opportunity to assist people who needed help in terms of advocates at the appellant level that gave us greater insight into this process. I want to just remark on what hasn't been clearly stated but has been insinuated, and that is that the police have the power and the authority that is unmatched in our society. They're first responders to reports of crime and crisis. They have the legal authority to detain and arrest citizens and are granted the authority to take a person's life in certain situations. Because they carry this enormous responsibility, we as members of the community that they serve and protect merely ask for accountability and transparency where there are allegations or there may be abuse of this awesome power. A system of checks and balances is all that we ask, which is the very fundamental basis of our system of government. And as we've heard Director Bautista state, that Portlanders want real oversight in this process. So we commend the efforts of the auditor, the IPR, Commissioner Leonard, in their efforts to enhance oversight and accountability. It is long overdue. We support this ordinance as an initial step in what we hope are many steps to increase transparency and accountability of our citizen oversight system. We see many positive changes in this ordinance and support those good changes. And with the amendments of yesterday, we think that the proposed ordinance is much stronger than when we first saw it a week ago. We support the additional power of IPR to have access to more information and hope that that becomes clear as to how that information flow is going to work. We would also like to see that the ordinance explicitly state that the IPR has the ability to investigate and or monitor investigations of shootings and deaths in custody. That is not explicit right now, and we think that that should be made explicit through this process. We also believe that the IPR and the auditor should be empowered to hire outside counsel, which right now they are allowed in consultation with the city attorney, and we'd like to see that strengthened. In terms of the police review board, we appreciate the codification of the accountability process here, and we support the IPR's vote on this board. We would like to see the increase up to 3 citizens on this board to level the playing field. Right now, as the proposal is 5 members, one of which is a citizen, one is the IPR director, and I'm kindly being told to quiet down now. But I want to just emphasize that we think there should be additional citizen oversight on the review board.
Thank you.
And as to the